Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Top Flight Time Machine are going to be going on tour in early November. You will experience physical movement and emotional movement and so much more from both of us.
Bowel movement?
Maybe there'll be a little bit of bowel movement. I can't promise it, but if that's what you're looking for, we can make it happen, probably. It won't be one of those things where a podcast episode is recorded in a theatre. Fuck that. This is a proper show with songs and dancing and high moments of exhilaration. So come along. Let's just quickly tell you where we're going to be. The 1st of November, we're in Brighton. 2nd of November, we're in Nottingham. The 3rd, we're in Leeds. The 5th, we're in Manchester. The 7th, we're in Glasgow. The 8th, we're in Newcastle. The 9th, we're in Birmingham. And the 10th, we're in London.
The capital.
What a finale.
It's going to be good. I think there's a few tickets left at most venues. Yeah. It's going to be really exciting. It's called the Velvet Drainpipe Tour. It's going to be better than the last one.
Yeah.
Which is saying something, because the last one was fucking amazing. Ask anyone who went. But this one, whoa, it's going to knock your cock off. Or if you're a lady, it will knock off your boobs.
Go to tftimemachine.com/liveshows to have a look at where you get tickets from.
There'll also be a chance to interact with us in an official capacity while we're on stage, not after the show.
In a very limited capacity. Come along, you'll love it.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
I should point out before I begin that I'm in a travel lodge in Cambridge. I'm right. In one of those kind of fake leather seats that they have at the desk. And if I move Brilliant. Around in it, it sounds as though I've broken wind.
Oh.
Can you hear that?
Yeah. It's great in meetings.
That's just a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode. I do not intend to break wind during this episode. Maybe I will, but if you do hear any noises that sound like it, it's just the leather effect chair in this travel lodge that I'm in Cambridge. Mm.
Okay, it's good to get out of the way.
Seat of learning in the UK. You know,
are you near the Dreaming Spires and all of that sort of stuff?
I don't know. I think I'm near a Tesco Express.
Can you feel the sort of ghosts of the great minds, the great scientific minds, the great literary minds that have been there and sort of, you know, been absorbed into the atmosphere in that part of the world.
Yeah, Inspector Morse.
Yeah, that kind of thing. No, that's Oxford, mate.
Is it?
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. I thought I saw him this morning, but obviously not. No, this is one of the weirdest travel lodges I've ever been in, because it's in the middle of a housing estate.
It's it now.
An area on the outskirts of Cambridge called Orchard Park. Shout out to Orchard Park if you live there. I am among you. But it's like a new housing estate and they just bunged a travel lodge right in the middle of it. Mm. Which is fair enough, isn't it?
Do the local people seem nice? Have you clocked any of them?
I've not encountered anybody. I just got out of the car and got in my room. And I've not left since.
We'll be doing a lot of that over the next 10 days, won't we? Rocking up at random hotels in strange places, going inside, laying low, and then fucking off again.
Turning up, having a nap, going to the venue, doing the show, and then fucking off again.
Not even having a look about.
No, we'll try and have looks about a bit more this time, I think. Mm. But I'm dead
excited. Yeah, it is exciting. It is exciting. Brighton tonight for our opening show. If you listen to this, you're in Brighton and you're coming down, then you're in for quite a treat. But you should remember, it's the first show tonight, so we might forget stuff. I don't know.
Shambles.
But that will make it even more entertaining. There'll be people still talk today in Sunderland about our first ever live show.
Yeah, Pop Rex in Sunderland.
Pop Rex in Sunderland in November 2019.
Yeah, about then.
And, you know, no one will see the likes of that again. That was really quite... We did two shows one night, and the first one was really quite shambolic, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I think in terms of Sunderland's cultural fabric, it's up there with the Sex Pistols at the 100 Club in London. People talk about... Say they were there, but
everyone
there
claims
must be
they
like
were there.
About 700 people have said they were there. They fucking weren't, because there was only 60 in.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but I would say anyone who was anyone in Sunderland that night was there.
Yeah, the great and the good, the glitterati. Mm. They were all there. Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully it'll be the same in Brighton tonight. We're on at the Comedia Club.
It'll be the same in Brighton. Mm.
The Comedia Club. Tickets still available from the venue's website. Get yourself along and have a look at what we've concocted.
What has been created. Ready yourself for a circus, a magical display.
Ready yourself for your consciousness to be tweaked, never to return to normality.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
going to be a good night. It's going to be a good night. We've got some weeks. So, yeah, what else is going on? How was your weekend, Andy?
Oh, God. Football-wise, not great. I don't know if you noticed that Sunderland lost 5-1 at Rotherham.
Oh, my God.
That is a bit of a low point. I mean, to be fair to Rotherham, I know you're probably not au fait with the League One scene. Rotherham are one of the top teams in League One and have been for many years. What happens is Rotherham are a bit like Norwich in the Premier League. They get promoted. They can't quite cut it in the Championship. And they get relegated again. But they're always up there competing in League One.
Yeah, so, they need a sort of a purgatory division for teams like them and Norwich.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. So that was that. We lost 5-1. I spent the weekend driving my kids around to parties.
Yeah, I did a lot of that.
Two kids, two parties on Friday and Saturday. And I'm now a full-time taxi driver. So it's nice to be on the road and get away from them for 11 days.
Yeah. When I took my daughter out two nights running to little soirees.
Mm-hmm.
And when I pick her up, she's 14, when I pick her up, the conversation is, you don't know where to go with it. Do you find that?
Well, both times with my son, there was other kids in the car because we dropped one of his mates off.
So
they were just sat in the back and I just wasn't involved. I literally was a taxi driver just sitting there in the front.
Yeah.
Silently driving them around. I didn't exist as far as they were concerned. But after we dropped his mate off on Saturday, we talked about the football. So there was that. We had to discuss that.
Yeah, that's all right. With my daughter, it's sort of like she just started going out on Friday and Saturday nights.
All right.
You know, she probably would have started if it wasn't for the pandemic a bit earlier. But, you know, this sort of thing where you're out with your mates and I don't quite know what's going down at this stage. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm keen to get the balance right between, you know, making sure she doesn't make silly decisions, but at the same time, not being a dad that she's scared of being so judgy that she wouldn't tell things to. Do you know what I mean? And so, that's a difficult balancing act, isn't it?
Mm.
She, for a while, but my wife caught wind of this, thought that because I didn't drink, I'd be really, like, go bananas if I ever found out she'd had alcohol.
Right, yeah.
So I set her straight on that, but at the same time, she hasn't had much alcohol, because at the moment, she's just not interested. Her mates are interested, and she's a bit like, not that sort of bothered about getting pissed, to be honest. I'm a bit sort of nervous about that. But, you know, she gets in the car, and I go, so how was it? Yeah, it was good. So, who was there? So-and-so.
Just
great.
People.
And what did everyone, what happened? What did you do? Just stuff. Right. What was everyone dressed as? Actually, don't answer that question. It sounds inappropriate.
What were they wearing?
Yeah, because it was a Halloween party.
What were all the teenage girls wearing?
Exactly. These things happen overnight to you as a parent, because it would have been a perfectly legitimate question, you know, until quite recently.
Yeah.
And then you sort of ask the questions, it's just one what did everyone dress up as? And then you sort of feel, anyway, it's a fucking minefield. Talking of giving lifts and not talking, that puts me in mind of, I remember... My dad took me out on a Saturday, as he did, you know, when I was a kid. He'd come over and pick me up and we'd go out and do something. And then as I got older, you know, for sometimes I'd stay at his house or sometimes he'd just drop me back at my mum's at the end of the Saturday night. And then as I started to become a teenager, it would be like, can you get me back? Because I'm supposed to be going out tonight with my mates. Yeah, so I need to get back at a certain time. So suddenly there was a sea change, whereas before it would have been, great, I'm staying over at yours or what have you. And he's like, yeah. And then there was this one time I go, shit, I'm running late. And he goes, well, why don't, instead of me take you home and then you go out again, why don't I just take you straight to where you're going? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm supposed to be meeting my mates at their house. So he goes, well, I'll take you there. So I go, okay. And he goes, where are you going after that? I said, well, we're going to a pub. And he went, well, I'll tell you what. He dropped me up my mates and he goes, I'll tell you what, go in. If they're ready, he said, I'll wait out here, keep the motor running. I'll take you to where you're going so you don't have to get the bus or the tube. So I was like, wow.
I thought this must be
what it's like to actually have a full-time father. Well, my mum didn't have a fucking car most of the time. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I didn't get lots of them. So suddenly he's like, he must have, I don't know, it just, like, he must have had a spurt of kind of fatherliness. And it was like, yeah, I'll wait here and go in and get them. So I go, all right. So I go in, right, and I thought it was just two of my mates at his house. But in fact, there's a bunch of lads, right? And everyone's smoking weed. And one of the lads there is a local character who I didn't really know, but was known to me. He was a local dealer and rough lad. And he was significantly older than us. Uh-oh. Yeah. And he was there because he'd obviously come around to sell him some weed and had stuck around. Like, you know, at the time you think he's quite cool. But now you look back, you think you're fucking weirdo. We were all 15 and you were like sort of 20, kind of just hanging around with us, becoming friends with us because you could sell us weed, right? Really weird. So I said, oh, my dad's outside. And they're all like, why? And I went, well, he said he'd give us a lift to the pub. And everyone's going, great. And then this fucking older bloke's got up and we go, yeah, I'm going that way as well. I'll jump in too. And I was like, oh, I don't want you jumping into my dad's car.
Right? You're a dealer. You're a criminal.
You're a dealer, and yeah, he was sort of had a local reputation for being a bit scary, right?
Right.
So, but it's funny because you also, when you're a kid, you assume that adults can see that someone is intimidating. Mm. But of course, I don't know what you feel like if you drop your kids at school and you look at them, even the older kids, you think, fucking dweebs.
Weasels.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But at that age, I thought, oh, my dad realises this bloke's a serious character.
Really scary.
Yeah. So he gets in, and we drove, and there was about four lads in the back, including this basic adult, and I was in front. I shall be sitting in the front, even though you're a lot larger than me, because it's my father's car. Yeah. Suddenly got carried away with myself, because I've got a parent with a car. Like, I think I'm fucking Prince Charles all of a sudden. Prince Edward. Come along, father. Right.
Into my carriage.
So he drives us to the pub and it was stony fucking silence the whole way, right? Because I don't know what I was thinking, but I had just been knocked for fucking six by the presence of this dealer in my dad's car, right? And when we got out at the other end, I just thought, oh, thank God it's over. I just want to get out, say goodbye to my dad, just get in the pub and just forget about this whole messy experience. Of course, it hadn't been messy, but that's the way you think when you're an adolescent, don't you? Everything becomes heightened. And as we got out, he said goodbye by name to two of my mates who he knew. And then as the dealer got out, he went, and goodbye to you as well. Perhaps next time we'll be introduced.
Oh.
I was fucking, like, the dealer, he sort of went, like that, sort of like, like that, sort of like nervously laughed because an adult had addressed him, right? Yeah. And my dad laughed and they sort of seemed to share a small moment.
Yeah,
I was fucking mortified. I was all, Dad, shut the fuck up! Don't talk to him like that. He's a local character. He's a local hard man. Don't talk to him like that. He might kill us all. That all just came flooding back when you said about being silent in your car. Remember another time my mate picked me up from, my mate's parents picked us up from a party when I was a bit younger. We were about 13 and it was a party and they were, and his parents had been out and they were picking us up on the way back from their night out outside this party. And we got in and unusually his mum was driving and his dad was in the back. And I thought to myself, aye, aye, this is a bit weird. This is a configuration I wasn't expecting. No, you're 13 again. You're basically autistic, aren't you, when you're 13? Like, sorry, that's rude to people with autism, and I probably misunderstand autism. In fact, edit that out. But what I mean is that things, like, you're a bit like, you're used to sort of a certain order of shit, aren't you? And you're like, what the... Why,
you don't,
old
you don't have
in
all the social skills that you need or that you require later on.
Yeah, exactly. So his mum's in the front driving the motor. His old man's in the back. The car pulls up. I thought, well, what the fuck are we going to do here? Before I know what's happening, my mate has got in the front next to his mum, which has left me but one option, which is to get in the back with his dad.
The big man.
Really weird. Why am I sat in the back with this adult male, right?
That is weird. It's really weird.
It's really weird. I can't tell. I can tell this story now because I'm not mates with this guy anymore. Not in touch with him. But I got in the back and it became apparent to me very quickly that the reason the mum was driving and the dad was in the back was because the dad pissed. Was fucking paralytic.
She didn't even want him in the front in case he tried to work the gear stick.
He was slumped, right? He was fucking slumped. And I was sat next to him, 13 years old. Here's an extra detail for you. The party we'd been to was rock and roll themed. So I had a quip.
A
rock and roll themed party. I think we were about 13, so it would have been 1988. And you know that the 50s were a big thing in the 80s.
Well, Sam, this will have been the era of Jive Bunny.
Yes, exactly. It was very much that era, right?
and
someone had had a party. I think girl from school had a party and invited. One of the first parties where boys and girls are invited, right? Ooh. Sexy. Yeah. And it was like rock and roll style, 50s style.
Super so sexy.
My brother had got some Brill cream and had fucking styled my hair into a quiff with a fucking, you know, one of those duck's ass things down the back.
Yeah.
So I had that. Plus, I'd been up to Kensington Market, which was sort of like the trendy market, and got a boot lace tie, mate.
Proper.
Yeah, like some Jock Ewing, right? Yeah. So, picture me, young Sam, 13 years old, with a fucking quiff and a bootlace tie, having just been to his boys and girls party. What would you call that? Is that unisex or...?
Yeah, I don't know if you can use the word sex if it's an underage party. Mixed party, call it a mixed party.
It was mixed gender. What do you call a school that has boys and girls in it? Co-ed.
I can't remember now.
Jalapeño.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot,
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
Anyway, it was a mixed gender party. I was dressed as, like, basically, I'd like to say little Elvis Presley, but it was just little Billy Ray Cyrus, basically, right? And and there's a drunk dad next to me in the back of the motor. And I'm thinking, right, weird, but hopefully this journey will be over quite quick. No, mate, because you know what happens next?
Oh, no, what?
He's woken from his half slumber, sits bolt upright, looks around to work out where he is, looks to his left, sees me, and you can imagine, he's like, "Who's what? Am I dreaming?" There's like, seems to be a tiny rock and roller next to him. There's a small rock and roll child in my car. What's happening? So he sort of looked at me, assumed he was sleeping, shut his eyes again, and here's the big bit, mate. He fucking put his head on my shoulder and started snoring.
No. Jesus and Christ.
I fucking froze, right? I totally fucking froze. I didn't know what to do, where to go, what to look. My mate, I remember, was in the front and he heard the snoring and he looked over his shoulder because he was already just mortified that his dad was snoring, right? Mm. But he was even more mortified when he looked over his shoulder and fucking clocked the fact that his dad was on my shoulder, right? Fucking and he just hell. Went, I remember my mate. And I felt worse for my mate than I did for myself. Because I at least, even at 13, fucking understood this is worse for him than it is for me.
Yeah.
And I remember he just looked. And you can't say anything when you're that age, can you? You can never just address the elephant in the room.
No.
Whereas now, the likes of me and you, old men like us, we fucking, there's nothing we like more than addressing the elephant in the room.
And sadly, it's, just seriously for a minute, that's how abusers work. Because they know that,
yes,
you know, yeah, things kids, won't be said.
Yeah, because of a sense of awkwardness. Kids are obsessed with awkwardness, aren't they?
I'm saying that was abuse, but he didn't hear that.
Yeah, well, no, hang on. I might bring this up with my therapist at this week's session.
What, this is going to for you?
Yeah. Oh, how have you been this week? Yeah, funny you should ask that. I was worried that we were going to run out of things to say now that I've been sober for 6 years. Yeah, I've drank up something. My mate Andy helped me with this. Turns out I was fucking nonce when I was a kid.
When I was just as a little rock and roller.
The therapist will be like this. Oh, how wonderful. Sorry. Oh, I mean, that's awful. Now let's talk about it. Yeah, exactly. I'll sharpen my pencil. Yeah, it was quite bad, actually. I blocked it out and repressed the memory. The thing was, I was dressed up like a little rock and roller, see? That's how it's... Maybe that was what attracted him to me. Maybe that was his thing. I don't know. But I remember my mate looked over his shoulder and he looked at it and his dad's proper like... on my shoulder, on my rock and roll shoulder. And my mate just went... Oh, God. That was all he said. But he didn't say it to me. He just said it out loud. And his mum looked in the rearview mirror and she sort of went, "It's all right." And he went, "What's all right?" It was so awkward. "What's all right?" And she went, "Well, whatever you just said, oh, God, about, it's all right. It doesn't matter." And I'm fucking just sat there frozen. Too scared to even breathe. It was like Jurassic Park, mate. And I was like, I was thinking, it fucking does matter, mate.
It really matters.
I'm the fucking...
moment of my life.
This is the worst. And if it's bad for me, imagine what it's like for him. And it's like, and I don't know if his dad, do you think his dad woke up the next day and was like, "I had the strangest dream, darling. I was in the back of a car and there was a tiny rock and roller next to me." He reeked of Brill Cream.
Maybe he thought he died and he thought you were God at the gates.
That's
of
what he thought. Well, I didn't expect God to look like that.
A little rock and roller.
I'll be honest, I am surprised.
That's good for you, though. You know, he's never going to be what you'd expect. But I'm up for it. I put my head on his shoulder and I said, invite me in, Lord. I am ready.
I wasn't expecting to die at this early age, but since I have, fair enough. Let's
have a little bit of shaking Stevens on the jukebox on something.
Let me ask you this, God. Is the whole of heaven rock and roll themed, or is it just yourself? Or is the whole place like one of them diners you see in your movies about the 1950s, you know?
Oh, man.
And they're just playing all the music and doing the jive and all that sort of that. Because that's fine with me, by the way. That's always looked dead fun. If I had to choose a theme, that would have been right up there, along with space.
Yeah.
And roller skating. Mind you, a lot of the waitresses have roller skates in them 50s diners.
I wonder if you get like a choice when you get there. You get to heaven, you can have which experience you get to have. Out of space, rock and roll. What else could you have? Dinosaurs.
If it was decade themed, obviously I'd go 90s.
1990s.
Yeah.
I'd probably go for the 80s because Fame would be on all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Wearing leg warmers.
And you could watch Minder whenever you wanted.
Yeah.
In fact, George Cole would be up there. He could sit and you could do a watch along with the cunt. Like Gary Neville does with them footballers about their careers.
He would do that thing where actors don't resemble their creations at all and don't refer.
Oh, he'd be really posh.
He'd be all actorly. Yes, well, I think what you'll find that we were trying to attempt with this episode was a commentary on Thatcher's Britain.
I find that such a letdown, and the worst two examples of that ever, and this is not opinion, you'll know when I say it's absolute fucking fact, right? Lou Beale and Pat Butcher.
Lou Beale, I can't remember what Lou Beale was. Like, was she
Lou
really,
Beale
really
was the most common acting and looking like a proper crone, Lou Beale.
Yeah.
A disgusting crone, but wonderful, right? And then you saw her being interviewed on TV about EastEnders. Yes, well, it's wonderful the way in which we study these working people from the East End of London. And I'm like, oh,
character.
No. At least fucking, I mean, Wendy Richard, at least she was quite common, right?
Yeah, she was. She's a Cockney Sparrow, yeah.
I mean, that's what made her, that was one of the many things that made her so sexy.
More so in it than
I've been served. Yeah, and then and Pam St. Clement as well. She's posh as fuck, isn't she?
I was disappointed when Wendy Richard got the gig on EastEnders because she was so frumpy and dowdy, and I was just so used to her being sexy on the telly, and I wanted more sexy. But no,
I know, like, because she hadn't been in at the time. It felt like fucking hell. It's been years since Are You Being Served, but actually, it had only been less than 10 years. Yeah, it's like that. So how has she just... She'd gone from literally the sexiest woman on British television...
Yeah, to the least sexy.
Arguably the least sexy. I mean, maybe it was just the styling. Maybe she still had it, but it was just the styling. They put her in the cardigans.
If you go back and watch all these EastEnders now, when she did wear the cardigan...
Yeah, as 46-year-old men, we'd be like, whoa, go on, Arthur. Fucking hell, Arthur, you're punching a bit there, aren't you, son?
Oh, God. And who was the other one? Pat Butcher. Similar.
Pat Butcher, Pam St. Clement. Extremely posh. Extremely posh. And it's just disappointing. It's just like, I don't know, it just does your head in. I'm not saying you can't play. I'm not saying all actors have to be like who they are. I'm not that thick. They like they are in the films.
Called acting.
Yeah, no, I think that's all fine. But... It's just sort of, it just confuses you, doesn't it?
There's another one. There's another one I've just thought of, Father Jack from Father Ted.
Is he a bit of a lovey?
He's never ever going to be like how he is in Father Ted.
No.
But the actor, Frank Kelly, who played him, was very, very well spoken. And all of
when
that.
When I was first asked to audition for the part of Jack, I spent a week sleeping on a park bench.
Oh, as well. Wilfred Bramble, who was Alfred Steptoe.
Yeah.
He was a very, very well-to-do fella, unlike his character.
No, he came up the other day because I've been listening to this wonderful, wonderful thing on BBC Sounds, which is Paul McCartney doing, he's got this book about his lyrics, right? And for BBC Sounds, he recorded just, I think it's like just six, maybe seven episodes, maybe, maybe, I don't know, maybe eight. Very short. They're all just like maybe between 5 and 10 minutes each, in which I think he's basically just reading directly from the book, but he does it well, so it doesn't sound like he's reading. And he just talks you through some of the most famous songs he's written and where he wrote them, who he wrote them about, how he wrote them. Very anecdotal and relaxed.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a famous book, isn't there, Revolution in the Head, that sort of dissects every single Beatles song. And it's quite
Beatles
good, that
Bible,
book.
They say.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite good. And there's obviously there's been more written and said about the Beatles than any other fucking band or cultural phenomenon ever. That's why it's amazing that after all these years of everyone writing things and saying things, and it's not like Paul McCartney's been entirely silent, but this is so fucking candid, right? Mm. It's absolutely fucking amazing. Anyway, he talks about a song that he did, I think, on his solo album called Junk. Is that a song you know? I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, he starts off, he says, right, Junk. Yeah, well, in Hard Day's Night, Wilfred Bramble out of Steptoe and Son played my dad. He went, and I loved, as a result of that, I got really into watching Steptoe and Son. And they were rag and bone men. They basically lived in a fucking rat in a junkyard. So that's what gave me the idea for writing Junk. He just goes on about Wilfred Bramble and how amazing he was. But it's all great, mate. It's really good, yeah. Listen to it when you're in the car.
Yeah, I need some things to listen to, audiobooks and that.
It goes from one to the next, like the one about Eleanor Rigby. It's just like, he goes, yeah, when I was growing up in Liverpool, I knew a lot of old ladies. Obviously, I genuinely laughed out loud at that line. Just a funny thing to say. When I was growing up in Liverpool, I knew a lot of old ladies. When people talk about growing up in Liverpool, any area, but particularly Liverpudlians, they say things as if it's completely unique to that area. And I mean it affectionately. It's sweet. But it's true. They'll go like, the thing is about growing up in Liverpool is there's a lot of old ladies there, right? Yeah. And you're always thinking, yeah, but that's the same in Ipswich or Slough. Yeah. I mean, it's not like unique to Liverpool, but they always think that they're not aware that things like that happen outside of Liverpool.
I saw one on Twitter, which was somebody, I think it was Liverpool again, where they talked about calling the cinema the pictures and going to the pictures.
Yeah.
They talked about it as if this was a unique thing in Liverpool. And obviously they were just bombarded by everybody else on Twitter saying, we call it that as well.
Yeah. When we had something to eat that wasn't an actual meal, like your breakfast or your dinner in Liverpool, we'd always call it a snack. That's the right Scouse word, that snack. And all it means is really is a bit of food that's quite small between meals.
We had a vacuum cleaner, right? We called it the Hoover. That was the brand name. But which is what we referred to it as. It was just a quirky Liverpool thing.
It's funny. That's just Scousers, though. We've got our own little language. Like, when the big ball of fire rolls in the sky in the morning, we had this word for it. We'd call it the sun. But that's Scousers, you know. We're a breed apart.
It was a lot catchier than its proper name, which I can't actually remember now.
You wouldn't know that if you're from London. You wouldn't know that. You're probably completely baffled when you listen to Scousers sat there talking about their snacks and the sun and all the rest of it.
We love you, Liverpool. Sorry we're not coming there on the tour this time, but we'll come back if you'll have us at some point. Spurs have just sacked their manager as we've been recording this.
Unbelievable. Unfucking believable. What the fuck is going on with Spurs? Honestly, I don't like Spurs, right? I don't like Spurs as a club. The fans, no, I think they're fucking annoying, stupid club. But that aside, though, right? You know, they're a proper club. Although I find them annoying, they're a proper club. They've been around for a long time. Well, they've got proper fans and all the rest of it.
Founding member of the Super League, let's not forget.
Well, yeah. They're not like one of these mug clubs like Chelsea or whatever. Do you know what I mean? They've been around. And you sort of think, what the fuck is Daniel Levy doing? They're in the Champions League final a few years ago, right? He spent all summer trying to get a new... He sacked Mourinho with no plan whatsoever. Just sacked him and there was nothing there to see out the season. They had to write off the rest of the season. Then they said all summer they were turned down by every cunt. In the end, when they committed to this guy, they got to fucking commit to him. No wonder he's had a bad start because he seemed like...
Yeah.
And the thing is, I always thought he seems like a nice guy. He seems like an intelligent guy. And he did well with Wolves. And really, you just got to fucking back him. I mean, it's not like they're bottom of the fucking league.
He got Wolves up out of the Championship and then they finished 7th 2 years in a row. All right, last year they were 13th. But that suggests that he can guide a team to 7th twice in the Premier League from nowhere. Suggests he's got something about him and you need to give him a bit more than... 3 months or whatever it's been. Fuck me.
Exactly. It's fucking incredible. You just can't do it. And I know there'll be Spurs fans being like, well, good. And I get that as well, because they'll be very disappointed with their start to the season.
The choice was then shortly.
No, what I read that they're going back to Antonio Conte, but he would be off his fucking rocker to go to Tottenham Hotspur when he turned them down in the summer, as I understand it, because... Daniel Levy had said, yeah, we'd like you to be the manager. We'll pay you what you want. Oh, and by the way, right last week he goes, by the way, there's no money for transfers, right? And Conte's gone, fuck that. I'm the sort of manager who needs to come in and buy a load of expensive players. Fair enough, some managers are like that. But if you know that Barcelona currently don't have a manager and that Manchester United might very soon and not have a manager.
Newcastle are looking for one as well.
Newcastle are looking for a manager. If you go to fucking Tottenham, you've got to be off your fucking nut. And I hope he doesn't, because he's a good manager. And if I was a Spurs fan, I would be like, probably they'll be supposed to go, oh yeah, I'm glad that he's gone because we're doing shit. And I get that, because when you've got a manager and doing shit, you do just sometimes want to change. But so I'm not even fucking saying that Spurs fans are wrong to want him out, but... You just got to think, fuck's sake, what did you hire him and then fire him for? You're not even bottom of the league. It's not like you're threatened by relegation. Give the cunt some time.
Oh, well, it's only football. Just a stupid kids game, isn't it?
I'm delighted that they're in trouble.
Yeah.
It'd be lovely if they did go down.
Right, let's leave it there, because we've got a fucking show to prepare for tonight. Brighton Comedia Club, get yourself along if you haven't got tickets yet. Predictions at the weekend, you've got 2 points, I've got 2 points, results block got 5 points.
Fucking cunt.
So you're still 3 points ahead on 48, I'm on 45, results spots on 31. That's it. We're going to... This week's IFS episodes might not come out exactly the time that they normally come out. The service might be slightly distracted.
We've got to do them on the fly. We've got to do them on the fly.
Fuck knows where we'll do them. All right, thanks very much. Goodbye.
All the best.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.